He said, when I got home, I had to make my bed and clean the bathroom for him. I'll make the coffee, too. That's all right. If you will, let's turn to Jonah. Book of Jonah. You got Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. If you get to Micah, you went too far. Book of Jonah. The Lord told them, those that trusted in themselves, he said, you want a sign? You're a wicked and adulterous generation. He said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Everybody says, well, that guy got swallowed by a whale. And they make little figurines for children and make wallpaper out of it and coloring books. And this is a big sign. If the Lord gives a sign, it's a big sign. We ain't going to exhaust it. I was talking to John right before we started, and there'll be a time, he reminded us last night that David told us to number our days. That's all I've got left. I got a couple days left. And it's very likely it could be the last time I preach. And if I live another 80 years, that's just a couple days. And if a man lives 120 years, look what sin does to a body in 50 years. We ain't got a good handle on what sin is, do we? It destroys in a vapor. That fast. Comes forth brand spanking new. Just a sweet, smells good and soft, and it's gone. I thought of Jonah. If I had to preach one more message, and this is it, I want people to know what happened in that garden, who we are, what happened on that cross, who Christ is, what's done, and who that's for. It's for whosoever. Those rough pearls, those sinners, the chief of sinners, not people, well, I've sinned. The noun, sin, what we are, the worst of them. Heathens. And then it's done. It's been done so long, this book was written way before I was ever born. Before I came on the scene, it's done. And I relate so much with Jonah. I do. Despite myself, despite my willful rebellion, the Lord's gracious to me. And he's gracious to his people. The Lord's unbothered by the ignorance or unwillfulness or anything else of his servant. Moses came to him. We read a lot about Moses, don't we? He wrote the first five books of the Bible. And he said, you're going to go talk for me. And he said, Lord, I can't talk. He said, who made the mouth? I'm sending you anyway. He didn't hiccup. There was no, the Lord didn't have to take a TV time out and find out what he's going to do. Y'all know the story of Jonah. He said, go down to Nineveh and preach to him. Jonah said, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I want to go to Nineveh. We got to sign it. What he meant for evil, what he meant for self-service. And he said, well, there's a ticket there for sale in Joppa. Lord must have wanted me to go. If he didn't want me to go, there wouldn't have been a ticket for me. He's a fatalist, wasn't he? Despite all that, the Lord used it, and we have this book here now. The Lord gave a sign of Jonah. I just want to look at the first chapter of this sign. I'm going to point out two atoms in it. We read in Romans 5, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Just as much as I fell in Adam, and that is my nature, and that is what I am through my DNA inside and out, that's how much that other Adam, the second Adam, as him as my head, and him as my representative, and I'm a nation and a seed of him, his offspring, I'm made just like him. As much as I fell in Adam, Lord's people are made righteous in him. If so, I wasn't in that garden. Well, I wasn't on that cross. This body wouldn't. But in him I was. And just like Adam, I never met him. Act just like him. But I don't encourage anybody to go to another nation that hates America. But you could go to another nation right now and say, I love you. You're my favorite nation. I want to be like you. I'm going to change my name. And they'll cut your head off. Because you ain't of that nation. You don't belong there. And that's how we came into this world. And by one man's disobedience, what happened in that garden? We died. Well, he kept breathing. Well, we ought to learn about spiritual death. And just as graveyard dead as he was, that's how everyone born of him is. Jonah was a real man. And boy, this gets me. Sometimes the simple things really, and the evening, and the Lord said, let there be light, and the evening and the morning was the first day. There never was a day before that. There wasn't such thing as a day. And then there was a day. And he said, there won't come a day, it'll be end of days. That's all we live in is days. This one Jonah is so rebellious, it's God's prophet. The peevish prophet, the meekest man that walked the earth was Moses. That was God's prophet. Here's the harshest one. And it's God's prophet. And used the greatest revival this world's ever seen. It's recorded. There's 120,000 that didn't know the left hand from the right hand. That's little bitty fellas. They don't know the right from their left. 1 million people with a king. That's what God used. This is the means. Something unfavorable and unprofitable and just something nobody else used. It's foolish. Who would use that? Who would use Jonah? God would. And it's his prophet. We read that plainly in 2 Kings 14. Matthew, Lord records, his words recorded. I have no doubt this is a real man. And in this book of Jonah, Nineveh pictures the Lord's church. Tarshish, where Jonah was going to go. Picture of hell, damnation. That's a picture of separation from God. I've read so many commentaries on it, going to how many miles it was between Joppa and Tarshish. It was a long way. That's how far it was. It was as far as you get from God. That's what it is. Physical location doesn't matter. Jonah's a picture of several things throughout this book. In the first four verses, he's a picture of that first Adam. That's what we see here. Our head, one word just like. The spirit and image as we're coming to this earth. The spit and image of Adam. And in chapter 1, verse 5, all the way to the beginning of chapter 3, is a picture of Christ. And throughout this whole book, he's a picture of the Lord's prophets, of his preachers, and us. Sinners saved by grace. That's a sign I want to pay attention to. That's a sign I want to look at. It says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Jonah's name means dove. He's a dove. I thought of Noah's Ark whenever floods came and the Lord said, send out the ravens. And the ravens went out and they didn't come back. Why? They're flesh eaters. They feed on death. And there's a floating bodies all over the place. And they didn't have to come back. They could eat anything. They could feed on live stuff and good things. They could feed on bad things. But when they sent that dove out, it came back. There wasn't no life out there for it. It has to feed on living things, the living bread. And finally, whenever that dove left, didn't come back, it found food, didn't it? Brought back that olive branch to them. There's one where to go. It's eating is what it was doing. That's this one. Sacrifice. A dove was used for a sacrifice because it was cheap. Undesirable. If a family couldn't afford a lamb, they could sacrifice a dove. And it symbolizes peace. Peace. This gospel we believe in is a gospel of peace because of its peacemaker, the one that dove landed on. Our Lord was baptized. You were baptized 2,000 years ago in the sight of God. And when he came up out of that water, the heavens opened and the Lord spake. And he said, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. And it was like a dove. Spirit of God laying on like a dove lighting on his shoulders. What a thought. That father's name means truth. I got tied up in what all the names meant in the book of Hosea. I thought it was wonderful. I studied so hard on that. And each of the kings, it was just magnificent. And I got up and I preached that and I looked out and it was like I was reading tax code. I lost everybody. I won't get tied up in the names. We'll keep going. Verse 2. Arise. He's speaking to Jonah. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. If Nineveh is a picture of the saints of God, how are they wicked? How wicked are they? They're just like everybody else. They're born of Adam. Their sin's a noun. It's not a verb. It's not just something we do. It's what we are. Lord, look down. Saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination, the thought of his heart was only continual, evil continually. And unless the Lord is pleased to send us his word through a messenger, we're going to perish just like every other child, Adam. We are. But God was pleased. God was pleased. Just like that great, that goodly pearl, I referenced this last night. I'll go backwards now. Just like that pearl of great price, he said, that's a good pearl. I love it. He said, that's a great city. That's my city. It's great. Well, they're nothing but wicked. Yeah, go tell them. He's going to warn them. Fail not to warn them. Just as he's pleased to send his preacher in this day to his children and say, all flesh is grass. Anything you thought was good is bad. Anything you thought was bad is probably good. Behold your God. That's it. He sends him saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Go to my people. You get up and go. You don't write him an email. You don't make a voice recording and mail it to him. He said, get up and go, just like he told Philip. He said, that eunuch's down there, and I get up and go. He took off running. Just like Ananias said, Paul's down there, go to him. He hesitated. He said, I heard about this fella. And I said, Lord, you sure? And he said, behold, he prayeth. He never had prayed before. I told our folks that. I said, I don't know somebody's heart. You don't know my heart. I don't know anybody else's heart. The Lord knows the heart. But I know what comes out the mouth. And on a long enough timeline, you're going to get a tenor of life, ain't you? If you praise him or curse him, one of the two. And he told Ananias, he said, you go down there. He said, Paul's praying to me. You'll hear it. I remember the first time I came, this conversation, congregation. My brother back there got up and prayed, and I said, that's my brother. I know it. Right then. I heard what come out of his mouth. He said, you get up, arise, and go to Nineveh. Verse 3, here's a picture of that first Adam. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, Jonah was a rebellious child. The Lord gave him one command. One command. And he did the exact opposite. Now, Eve was in that garden, and she ate that fruit of the tree, and her eyes didn't see nakedness. Nothing happened. She was deceived. She went to her husband, and he listened to his wife instead of the Lord. He sinned willfully. Adam did. It was willful. He willfully sinned. Jonah willfully sinned. He went down to Tarshish. And I'll tell you what, he paid for that ticket. Well, I need to learn that. Willful disobedience comes at a cost. Sin, there's a price to be paid in this body. It pain and suffering or shame or something in us. And sadness and guilt over what we know. To willfully do that, to sin against God. Not that you all seen it. Some of y'all, years ago, I won't say how many. I was a teenager. I did some dumb things. John Vickie's witness to it. But you saw it. That's against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Done this evil in your sight. That's what Jonah did. That's what Adam did in the garden. Same thing. Jonah tried to flee from the Lord. What did Adam do after he ate? He fled from the Lord. He went and hid from him and tried to cover himself and hide himself, cover his nakedness with those fig leaves. I'll tell you, tell Jonah, tell me, anybody listen, you can't run from God. We don't use that word much. It was used widely in the 80s. He's potentate, the only authority. He's the only power. He's the only one that receives honor and glory and majesty. Only omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. We can't run from him. How could Jonah or Adam even think they could ignore God and run from him? Same way I can. Same way you do, just like us. There's a like passions, no different than us. Jonah tells us later in chapter 4, he said, the reason I ran is I knew you was going to save that city. I knew you was going to be gracious to them. I knew you're merciful. I knew you're slow to anger. And I was mad. It's a Gentile city, and I told them it was going to get destroyed. Now I look like a false prophet. My ministry's tarnished because of that. And the army had a phrase called, with them. It's an acronym. What's in it for me? I don't think we're worried about it. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. He's about to tear that thing all to pieces. And they knew it. These professional seafarers knew it. First, the Lord sends a storm, and it's right, and it's just for him to send this storm. What Jonah did was wrong. It was wicked. And it was willing. It was willfully against the Lord. And he willfully disobeyed the Lord. And he meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good. That doesn't excuse his sin, doesn't excuse ours. It doesn't make light of our disobedience. Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. But the sinner does not hinder the Lord. Man does not affect Almighty God. When we pray, that's what so many people think. We'll get together and we'll pray through this. That's a mutiny. We'll make a big old prayer list and we'll all get together and we'll hold hands until God does something we want Him to do. That's mutiny. You're ganging up on God. Prayer doesn't change God. His acts are known from the beginning. He knew what He's going to do. It changes us. You've done that, ain't you? You start to pray for something. You say, oh, Lord, would you? You're on your throne. We start to praise, don't we? You're holy. You're right. Everything you do is right. And everything's in your control. And never mind. You go to ask for something. Oh, that's right. Just praise Him. Thank Him. It stifles a lot of our petitions, doesn't it? Jonah washed his hands of what the Lord told him to do, and he bought a one-way ticket to Tarshish, trying to leave everything behind. But the Lord, but God, He had some of His elect children on that ship to Tarshish that must be saved, and He had some elect children, the whole city of Nineveh that must be saved. And we're given a beautiful picture here of what the Lord Jesus Christ does in this book right here. The same way He saved sinners then, the same way He saves sinners now. The same trouble they was in back then and the same thoughts and the same nature Adam they had ain't no different. We can just do it faster now. We have man's devices. I left mine over on the pew. We literally have devices, don't we? Sin's the same. We're just more efficient at it. That's all there is to it. But God. In this point of the chapter, remember, Jonah's the type of that first Adam. Because of his disobedience, because of his sin, those in that same boat as him were in the same storm as him. And it was about to be ripped apart. And so why they didn't disobey God. They hadn't even talked to God. Well, that's what Paul told us in Romans 2. Nevertheless, death reigned. Lord didn't have, there was no law to offend there between Adam and Moses. People still dying. Why? We didn't believe God. We didn't believe God. Adam didn't believe God. We didn't believe God. We thought it was our way. We had opinions. You know what opinions literally translated as? Heresy. Heresy. So, why I think, I ought not think. What does God say? What does He say? They were in that boat after the similitude of Jonah. Nevertheless, death's about to reign. They was dying. They were willfully and gainfully employed on that ship. That was their place of business to go to hell, to go to Tarshish. Well, that's how I make a living. That's what we're doing. Those in the same boat, they see that judgment of the Lord's coming. They became physically afraid. They became physically afraid. When sinners are in the same boat as Adam, and the Lord starts revealing this judgment for sin, people get physically scared. My dad told me that. He said, whenever children are young, they physically fear their father because they're going to get spanked. They're going to get the rod. And then as you grow, you don't get... There's a time I got my last spanking. I didn't get spanked anymore. But I still feared my father, but I wasn't afraid he was going to hit me. I honored him. That's the difference. That's the difference. These people, they started out, they're scared to death. Well, this boat's going to sink. We're in trouble. We're going to die. Now we see a picture of that second Adam, verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. They weren't crying to God. They were crying to the gods of their imagination. And cast forth the wares that were the ship were into the sea to lighten it of them. They started working real hard. What can we do to get rid of things? Let's cut this out, cut that out. And I'm going to quit drinking, and I'm going to quit smoking, and I'm going to quit whatever. That's what they're doing. We're in trouble. Jettison. Get it out of here. But Jonah, was he throwing things overboard? He was going down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. This sign come to fruition. All these signs, there's a thousand of them. I'm just cherry-picking the pearls out. But this happened in Mark 4. There was a great storm of wind came. It was beating on that ship, and they were mariners. They were professionals. This is what they're used to. And they were scared, and the master was on a pillow in the back of the ship, and that's where it's kicking the most, sleeping. And they said, what's wrong? Don't you care that we're going to die? First thing he did before he talked to them, he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. Smooth as a mill pond in Maine. And then he turned to him and said, why are you so fearful? What's wrong with you? How is it that you have no faith? And they marveled, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? We can't, this guy, he ain't like us. This God ain't like us. Physically, as John was about to tell us, Christ has power over the sea, but spiritually, Christ is the only one that can calm that sea of judgment, that sea of pain and anguish that we rightfully earned our wage, that we deserve from the hand of a just and holy God that we spit in his face, we was at war with. While we were yet sinners, while we were in that war, he's the only one that can stop it. And he says, peace, be still. How does he give life? He looks on a valley of dry bones and says, live. And they got life. Don't take much, does it? Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him. They went down there to wake him up. And said, what meanest thou, old sleeper? What's wrong with you? Why are you sleeping? Arise and call upon thy God. We're having a prayer meeting. Everybody get together. You pray to your God, I pray to my God, and we'll all get together, and somebody's going to be right. Somebody, we're hedging all. We're betting on odds and evens. We'll bet on it all. Somebody will be right. You get up and do it. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots. Praying ain't working. Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. Somebody done somebody wrong. And I'm the one that was wronged. You ever thought that? Something bad happened. You've seen that happen. Trials come. They're going to ask it twice. Who did wrong? Who brought this evil on? It wasn't me. Yes, it was me. They hadn't revealed that to them yet. It's my fault. If somebody's wrong, it's me. I promise you that right now. It's my fault. Lord, let's teach us that. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. What brought their attention to Jonah? Well, the lot fell on him. Just so happened. No, the Lord of hosts. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The Lord purposed this. Verse 7, they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said to him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. The lot laid on you, now you tell us. I had somebody ask me that recently. Who made this evil come upon us? Who made this trial come upon us? You ain't going to like the answer. God did, and it's your fault. That's it. If it happened, the Lord did it. Is he not on his throne? That's what, speaking of providing for pastors and stuff, and you reap what you sow is what Paul was saying. He said, God's not mocked. And that's so. If we sow corn, we don't expect tomatoes to come up. And if I sow 3 grains of corn, I'm not going to get 2 acres of harvest. That's just so. But that word, God's not mocked, it's translated, he's not frustrated. He's not surprised. You get frustrated. I get frustrated. The Lord, he ain't caught off guard. Mauricio, go eat a ham sandwich. I say it to other people all the time. Get in this shade tree. Eat you a sandwich. You'll be fine. Calm down. Lord's on his throne. He is. They said, for whose cause is this evil upon us? They weren't sinners yet. That's the problem. And if that's offensive to somebody, I hope you offend it now instead of offending that day of judgment. We're the sinners. We're the sinners. Me, I know that because I am. But here they're asking, for whose cause this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what's thy country? And what people are thou? You can read in chapter 4, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. That's Assyrians. That's close to Mosul, Iraq. I'll tell you from personal experience, it's an undesirable place. He didn't want to go there. But he's a Jew, and the Lord's going to have him go down and preach to Gentiles. And he said, I don't want to. He's against them Gentiles. They ain't as good as me, and I don't need, my time could be used somewhere else is better. But they want to know what country's from, what his people was. Whence comest thou? Those are kind of all the same, isn't it? And what's your occupation? They want to know that. They want to know if this is a conspiracy. What superstition? That means overly religious. They thought man could control the weather. Anything changed? Who did this? Is this another country's fault? Who's making this climate change? I tell you right now, I believe in global warming. It's going to get real hot. All the fervent heat and all the elements going to melt too. I don't know how long. day's 1,000 years. It may happen tonight, it may happen in 2 millennia, I don't know. Ain't none of my business. But they thought this was some man's fault, that the seas were corrupted and the weather was changed. Verse 9, Jonah's going to answer him. And he said unto him, answers him backwards, but he answers him. I'm in Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. You're worried about the sea and the dry land, God made it. But he's answering their questions in reverse. They're asking, where are you coming from? What's your country? What's your people? Who are you? Where are you from? And he says, I'm in Hebrew. I'm a child of God. And they said, what's your occupation? And he replied, I fear the Lord. That's his job. Honor God. Believe God. Look to God. Point your face towards him. You know that's every child of God's occupation? Don't put that on a resume. You won't get hired. What was your past experiences? I believe God. What about him? Everything he says? You understand it all? No, but if he said it, we'll figure it out someday if we need to. He'll teach us. I'll tell you what I do know. That's what Peter and John told that lame man in front of the temple. That guy sat out in front of the temple 40-some years. Wouldn't go inside. He sat outside. And he said, give me some alms. He said, I ain't got nothing to give. I ain't got no money. I'll give you everything I got, though. I'll tell you about the Lord. He said, that's my occupation. I fear the Lord. Why is this evil upon us, Jonah? He's going to preach to these mariners. Tells them who God is. He said, the living God sends judgment as he wills. And if it's without warning, that's just fine. That's right. And he sends peace as he wills. That's right. He's merciful to whom he will, and he'll show grace to whom he will. Lord, show us your glory. I used to stand on that when I was a teenager. I had my doctrine was as straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. I was right. I said I was an apologetic because I wasn't apologizing to nobody. And you need to be right. But the Lord's merciful to who he'll be merciful. He's gracious to whom he's to be gracious. He's sovereign. And then he showed Moses his glory. I'm going to put you in the Christ. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. That's my glory, is my son, and me putting you in him who didn't deserve to be in there. Jonah preaches to him, tells him who God is. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He told them the truth. My pastor helped me out with this. At the end of this book, Jonah's just hard the whole way through. The Lord says, how's it working out for you fighting me? And he says, it's working out all the way to death. You just go ahead and kill me. Oh, man, what? That's just stubbornness and disobedience. I see it myself. But the Lord kept asking him some questions. And at the very last punctuation in this whole book's a question mark. I called Clay. I said, why did it end in a question mark? And he said, yeah, it ends in a question mark. What's the answer? The book of Jonah. The Lord asked him a question, and he wrote it down, just like Onesimus wrote that letter to Philemon. He said, by the hand of Onesimus in Rome. He's the one that pinned all that out. I'm unprofitable. That's right, Paul, I am. And he wrote it down, didn't he? We'll confess. We'll tell the truth when the Lord deals with us. These men didn't want to face judgment. But they asked him, now they saw something, heard of the Lord, and they were exceedingly afraid. And they asked the question. They'd been taught in their heart something about who God was. And they said, why wouldn't you obey God? Why wouldn't you do it? They hadn't walked in faith long enough to see their failures just yet. They were excited and motivated. Why wouldn't you obey God? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea might be calmed to us? For the sea is wrought and tempestuous. We don't want to face this judgment because we can't live through it. What must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Jonah's going to show them. It ain't your doing. As a picture of Christ, it's his. This is the Lord's doing. Verse 12. And he said unto him, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. There's the gospel, isn't it? If Christ, our substitute, is cast into that divine judgment on our behalf, judgment's over, and it's all for his name's sake. It's for his sake. It's for his glory. And I tell you what, them mariners will confess with me. They'll witness with me. It's for our good. It's for our good. This was a good thing. He warned us. He showed us what we are. And in spite of ourselves, the Lord blessed us anyway. And the whole time, all that's taking place, it every bit glorifies the Son. For his sake. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and tempestuous against them. Physically, earthly, they didn't want to kill Jonah, did they? And they gave it all they had to do something other than watching him die. They did. The thought of it was just unbearable. And to think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. If we get along, go read Matthew 27 on that, when the Lord went to that cross and what they did to how you, Chris Cunningham asked you, he could go read that. He said, how you feel after you read that? It rips your heart out, doesn't it? Oh, if there's any other way. Those that cried, I thought of that too. The very ones that cried. We're about to go through Stephen there in Acts 7. And they, as they stone him, he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what to do. That's exactly what the Lord cried out on the cross with them. But as those cried, they said, give us Barabbas. They told Pilate, they said, let his blood be on us. They did. That's what old Zipporah told Moses, said, you're a bloody husband to me. And then she repeated it. It said twice. And everyone that cried out that the Lord saved, let his blood be on us. Boy, wasn't long after they heard the gospel, said, let his blood be on us. Cover us in that blood. Lord, it must be. That's what she cried out. She said, you're a bloody husband to me. And then she cried out, you're a bloody husband to me. Verse 14. Therefore they cried unto the Lord. They weren't crying to their little G gods no more, are they? Something happened. By the foolishness of preaching, the Lord saved some of his people in that boat. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. We're not commanding. I demand that you do this, if you're willing. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. Oh, what a thing. Thou art the Lord, hast done what it pleased thee. They knew there's a sovereign Lord. They knew their sin and wrath, for that sin was well deserved. It was right. And they knew something of obedience to the Lord. They knew to cry out for him. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah. They said, Lord, we'll do it your way. We'll do it as your prophet said. We tried. We rode as hard as we could until our hands bled, and that ain't working. You're right. You're right. And they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. When Christ died for the elect chosen people in him before time was, the wrath of God was ceased from raging. It stopped right then. To say that Jonah was cast into that sea and that all storms for everybody without exception throughout time has ceased is not true. That's not so. Now for his people, for those in that boat, for those on that ark, for those on that ship that they had fellowship with, as fellows in the same ship, that's true. That's just done. Storm's over. Storm's over. To say that Christ died for everyone throughout time is not true. Jonah died for those that's in the ship. Christ, our ark, died for those that were in him and sealed in him, pitched within and pitched without, that God put in there and God shut the door on. He closed them in. Verse 16. That's what I had to. Say Christ died for everybody is just a lie. It's wrong. But to say that storm ceased and all rage is consumed and judgment was satisfied, and then to say that there's something else that has to be done for that storm to stop is wrong. It's wrong. When the seas have ceased, there's therefore now no condemnation. We've got to get these waves to stop. What waves? He calmed the sea. There's nothing else to be done. What are we going to do? Thank him. Be good. Sing to him. Sing to him. Praise him.
Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. They made vows. Now, they're young believers. Let's not pick on them for making vows. Paul said that. He said, I've committed everything to him against that day. Well, we do too. We turn ourselves over lock, stock, and barrel, and it's in his power and his time. And Lord, those wedding vows, I'm yours. I am my beloved's, and he's mine. He's mine. But that's his doing. We understand that, don't we? But they made vows. Now the Lord had prepared, he'd ordained a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's exactly what happened. Our Lord spoke of in Matthew 12. He said, those scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master. I wonder what kind of inflection they had on that term. You know, somebody, I was telling somebody the other day, there's some people on this earth, they can call me a hillbilly. That don't bother me at all. There's other people, I've had people say, you hillbilly. Well, ooh, buddy, we got a problem now. It's not necessarily how it's what's said, but how it's said, isn't it? I heard my pastor for years said, the master came. And in others, they go, master. They said, master, we would see a sign from thee. Give us a sign. And he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That's just a picture. The real one standing before you. What a sign, isn't it? Well, I said last night about the Lord said, if he that has ears to hear this parable, let him hear. And they said, Lord, what's that mean? Right after. And he said, sit down, I'll tell you about it. I'll explain it to you. He told them, they said, you show us a sign, we ain't going to believe. He said, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. You get away from me. Go read it. Go see what that means. And Thomas said, unless I touch his side and I touch his hands, I ain't going to believe. And he showed up and said, come here, Thomas. Put your hand right here, buddy. That's just plain sonship, isn't it? Just between being a child of God or not. That's his doing. He said 3 nights, 3 days and three nights. And there's a lot of explanation to it, but it's the timing of that. I read that one time, and I was like, that don't really look like 3 days and three nights. But if the Lord said it's 3 days and three nights, and it took 3 minutes, that means it's 3 days and three nights. Oh, Donnie Bell said that. He said, do you believe that he was really swallowed by a whale? He said, Lord said so, yeah. He said, if the Lord said that Jonah swallowed that whale, I'd believe that. That's just right. He said so. We believe him. I believe that Jonah was a real man in that whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. I believe that's miraculous. And I don't know how it happened, but I know it's so. And I know he spit out on dry land. Just as I believe that Christ was in that earth for 3 days and three nights. That's miraculous. He satisfied the wrath of God on behalf of his people. That storm ceased. There's nothing for me to do or nothing to add to it. And I don't know exactly how that happened. I don't. But for his Nineveh, it's done. I know that. I hope the Lord bless that to our hearts. Thank you for having me. I'm off work now. Clay told me, he said, you're going to preach Friday night and you're going to preach Saturday morning. I said, all I heard was I was off Sunday. I was just going to sit and listen. So, thank you.